I purely took him because it made me laugh a little bit. I'm a huge homer, and I didn't fancy anyone else off here.
What is going on, guys and girls? Welcome to the third edition of the OBF podcast. And this week's podcast is going to be a little bit different. We're going to take a look at our little draft recap of the podcast league we had the other day. And then we're going to get into some predictions for the season. But as always, guys, I am joined by my co-host, Michael Richardson. How are you today?
I'm good, cheers. Thank you. Just a little background on the draft that we're going over. Mm-hmm. This is obviously the third. This is obviously the third year we've had this draft.
Yes,
which involves several other NFL fans. I think there's three Brits.
Eight
in
other
the rest are all
NFL
Americans.
Fans. We need to clarify
yes.
that.
Yes, there's obviously ten-man league.
Yep.
Quarterback, two running back, two wide receiver, tight end, flex spot, which can be the running back or wide receiver. One defense, one kicker. It's three Brits, seven Americans. First year I came in third, and then second year obviously I won it.
Mm-hmm.
And this is our third year. How did you do the previous 2 years?
Haha, the second year was a... It was a 1-2, wasn't it? You were first, I was second.
And the first year?
I can't even remember the first year, to be honest. But
I'm sure I can find out. 1 second. You just tap dance a little bit. I'll just go to the rankings.
Okay.
Here we go. 2011.
The first year, I think I was fifth or something. But that was the first year we had this thing, and it was like a 5-team league, wasn't it? So
it was an 6-team league, and
you
came last.
Mm.
Good. It's weird you can't remember that. It's
rather unfortunate that, but as we say,
strange,
that was a dodgy league that year. But last year, as we say, you came first, I came second, and I think we had the other Brit, Peter, was third as well, wasn't he? So we had a 1-2-3 Brits finish last year.
Big up at @battered24_. Brother for life.
Right,
so where should we start? Do you want to recap round one?
Yeah. Going through round one of the draft we had the other day, we kicked it off with Adrian Peterson going first overall.
A big shock.
Yeah, I know. Shock, surprise there. Second pick of the first round, though, was a little bit of a surprise with Ray Rice going in the number two slot.
Yeah, it's not the usual pick, but I think he's going to have a slide year, so I don't think you can fault anyone for that.
Exactly.
Right?
As we say, and if you want a guy in the number two spot, if you want a guy, they're probably not going to come around you in the next round. If you really are sat on the guy, you've got to go for them there. Third pick, Doug Martin went. Again, pretty standard. That's what you expect in most drafts. And then followed up, number four, LeSean McCoy.
Yeah, again. I mean, he could have gone third, second. I mean, the first five running backs are pretty much interchangeable, I mean, apart from AP. But you could pretty much choose who goes where, really. I couldn't fault anyone for taking any of the top five at the second, third, fourth spot.
Exactly, yeah. This draft, and especially with this first round, was pretty much a staple of how things should go, with CJ Spiller again going fifth overall.
I like CJ.
Yep. And then sixth overall came Arian Foster, slipping a little bit in people's rankings, and he was snapped up in our draft in the sixth spot.
They obviously listened to episode one of the OBF podcast.
Of course, obviously. But then, seventh spot in round one, Marshawn Lynch.
I like Marshawn.
And I think in the seventh spot there, they've done great. I can't remember who actually it was who drafted there, but that was definitely a great pickup at
that
number
was
seven.
That was Bradley, the American.
Brad, was it?
Next pick was more surprising to me.
Jamal Charles?
Yes, I didn't expect it. I like that pick a lot. I didn't expect him to fall that far.
Again, yeah. Again, I think the Ray Rice pick at number two sort of pushed those guys down.
Yeah.
So that's where that comes from. And then picking number nine in the first round was myself, and I opted to go for Trent Richardson in that spot right there.
Yeah, again, I mean, he's their starting running back. He's the Adrian Peterson of the Browns.
Yeah.
So, yeah, good touchdown numbers, good yards.
Exactly.
And health, as I said, health's been a bit hit and miss in the preseason, but not in the sense that he's been missing games, but he's just not been 100%. But again,
exactly.
He wasn't all last season. So.
And he's come out nice saying that he's 100% healthy, so that's good news for the season. And as I've said before, I was always going to go running back with my first pick in pretty much every draft I've done. I feel as if you don't go running back with your first pick, you're going to struggle in the later rounds, because the running back falls off the cliff very quickly. In draft this year,
number 10 was me. Obviously,
yep.
I have 10, and it's a snake draft, so I've
yeah,
got 10, the 11th
11,
pick
so.
As well. 10, I took Alfred Morris.
Mm-hmm.
So solid last year. I mean, obviously, I think he probably fell far because again, it's a rookie. Oh, it was his second year rather. He was a rookie last year, and I don't think anyone expects him to kind of recreate last year. But I think
yeah.
he possibly can. Do you have any big anything big to say about this first round? I think the biggest takeaway I had is that obviously Megatron fell out of it. It was entirely running backs.
Megatron did fall out of the first round, but I feel as if everybody sort of did, like, in my idea, they did the right thing by going running back in the first round.
Yeah, no, I agree.
That's what I always like to do. And everybody's pick in the first round, you can't really fault. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, yours, for example, I know you got Alfred Morris in the first round. Like, personally, with the running backs available on the board there, I'd have gone Matt Forte, but that doesn't really matter because picking 10-11, you followed up that second pick with Matt Forte, didn't you?
Yep. There was no way. I was, even with Megatron on the board, there was no way I was going running back, wide receiver. It was running back for me all day. I like having those two star running backs. I mean,
exactly.
As you'll see later on, I value wide receiver a lot less than I do running backs, although it didn't go strictly as a plan for me, but in the sense of what order I was picking him. But yeah, no, running back was a dead cert for me, so it was Alfred Morris followed by Matt Forte straight away.
Yeah, and for me, I think running back was the exact way I wanted to go in this draft. But then when I'm getting into the second round now, and I'm looking at my board in round two, and Calvin Johnson is there staring at me, and I'm thinking, well, what other running backs are available? And I've got Steven Jackson still left on the board, Maurice Jones-Drew, Chris Johnson, Reggie Bush sort of mold. But for me, you have to go Calvin Johnson there. I couldn't pass on Calvin Johnson there. And essentially right there, I've picked up a first-round wide receiver in the second round.
Yeah, I mean, it's the top of the second. It's not like you fell miles. And I think I've seen it happen before in other drafts, in other mock drafts, I should say. But yeah, no. Again, he's the best wide receiver in the league at the moment. So I don't think anyone can fault you for taking him over a running back.
Exactly. Exactly. Okay. So.
Third round.
Yeah. Third round got interesting in the sense that quarterbacks slipped in our draft, didn't they?
Yes.
Quarterbacks slipped very far in this draft, and I was picking in round three, at the end of round three. Sorry. And Aaron Rodgers was on the board.
And
Drew Brees was still on the board. However, I went for Maurice Jones-Drew. And again, my thinking here was that going running back, wide receiver, I felt as if I had to get a running back in this third round. I couldn't wait and go quarterback because if I waited any longer on getting my running back too, I might be left with like a DeMarco Murray. And that's not something I'd want to go in the season with. And as I might have said before as well, I'm a long advocator of waiting on quarterbacks and getting quarterbacks later on. And in this draft, it worked out for me. It might not have done, as I passed up on an Aaron Rodgers here and a Drew Brees for the my second running back in MJD. It worked out for me in this draft. But what do you think about that pick right there? MJD back in the third.
See, this relates to your fourth round pick as well. I couldn't have passed up Rodgers or Brees, and obviously I didn't. My pick, I took Aaron Rodgers.
In the back of the third, yeah.
I've never seen Rodgers or Brees fall to me at this spot.
Same.
Was shocked and amazed, but I had to take Rodgers because I prefer Rodgers to Brees. Mm-hmm. I think their defense is better, which allows obviously better quarterback play, etc., etc. But I personally, if I was you, I'd have taken Brees or Rodgers and then got either Maurice Jones-Drew or Frank Gore or Lamar Miller with your next pick. Obviously, I picked again snake draft, so I've gone next, and I took Frank Gore. So now I've gone running back, quarterback, running back. So I've got my three running backs. I'm set, and obviously I waited a long time another five rounds before I took another running back because I've got my three superstars. None of their vibes clash, which is perfect, and I've got the best wide receiver on the board.
Quarterback on the board. Do you mean?
Quarterback on the board, rather, yes.
You see, if I was in your position and if I'd have gone Trent Richardson round one, Matt Forte round two, I'd have snapped up Aaron Rodgers in the third like that. I'd have taken him. But given the fact that I didn't have I didn't have a second running back at that spot, I just thought I had to go for him. And even though you had two running backs already on your board, I couldn't count out you going Alfred Morris, Matt Forte, Aaron Rodgers, and then taking an MJD over Frank Gore. And I wouldn't have been happy with Frank Gore as my second running back. So that's
I think he'll do well. I think if my flex spot's usually a running back unless there's a great wide receiver matchup. But I mean, if I did just use two running backs, I think I could have a good debate. I mean, it's matchup of definitely of all three of them because they're all such solid starters.
Yeah.
But I mean, because I think the difference between Alfred Morris and Frank Gore isn't huge. But yeah, I can see why you take running back, and then your next pick obviously being, I'll let you reveal. It's more fun than me.
Yeah, yeah. Right. Just a quick note, when you're saying that you don't think the difference is huge with Alfred Morris and Frank Gore, I think it has the potential to be pretty big, because again, Frank Gore, is he over 30 now?
Yes. Or if he's not, he's coming on the cusp of it. I don't know his exact age.
Exactly, yeah. So we don't know how many years he's going to have left in him, but again, he is still kind of focal to that offense.
He's also behind the best O-line in the game, and he's a power back, so he's going to get a lot of the touchdowns as well.
That is true. That is true.
And Frank Gore is 30. He was 30 on May the 14th.
Mm. Okay.
And
so,
also, your next pick.
Yeah. Coming back off that, having gone running back, wide receiver, running back, again, I had Drew Brees on the board there for me to possibly take, but something that I've done in every single mock draft is fourth round, I've always gone for a wide receiver in the mold of a Vincent Jackson, a Victor Cruz, or an Andre Johnson type mold. And I went for Andre Johnson purely because I thought, if I can get 16 games out of him this year, then he could just go off. I can see him easily getting 1,500 yards if he plays 16 games.
I mean, the end of last season, he was spectacular. He was incredible. Yes. I mean, obviously, with your hatred of Arian Foster, it would suggest they might pass it a bit more. So, yeah, there's potential for Andre Johnson. There's potential for Andre Johnson to do well. But I'd have rather had Breeze than the second wide receiver already, especially the depth in wide receiver. I haven't taken a quarterback before the fifth round in any of my mocks.
Yeah.
But Aaron Rodgers and Drew Brees are just a special kind of quarterback.
A small thing that did come into my mind, though, and it's not a huge thing at all, but, you know, just given the fact that I'm a Falcons fan, I kind of don't want to be cheering for, like, my division rival's quarterback to throw for 5 touchdowns and 300 yards each week. That's just a little thing that sort of kind of came into it as well. But, I wanted to get my second receiver there, and knowing that I could get a quarterback later on, I felt as if I was best to wait. So that's how I approached that there. So moving into round 5 and coming back that way, I went for my tight end here, and I picked up Tony Gonzalez. Again, my reasoning for that was the running backs on the board at that point, the ones that were left were really sort of Ryan Matthews. I think it was Ryan Matthews and DeMarco Murray mold that were left at that point. Actually, DeMarco Murray might have even been gone. I think it was sort of Ryan Matthews, Shane Vereen, Giovanni Bernard. It was getting pretty grim at that point. So I went for my tight end in round 5 with Tony Gonzalez. And that there, I feel, enables me to get not a top-tier tight end, but I feel as if I've got a second-tier tight end there who I can rely on each week.
For love nor money, I can't see where DeMarco Murray goes. I'm just looking through them now.
You're looking through the boards right now.
Yeah, and I can't see where the heck he went to. I'm sure he went to Cordero, the Cowboys fan, who took every Cowboys player.
No, yeah, he ended up with an obscene amount of Cowboys in the end. I think it was like 3 or maybe even 4.
I can't find him. I know he went to him, though.
Off the top of my head, I know he got Witten and...
I can't agree with the Gonzalez pick at all. And don't get me wrong, great red zone target. He'll get touchdowns. Mm-hmm. He's awful after the catch, though. And I just don't like tight ends this early. I really don't value tight ends.
Yeah, I know that is a valid option, but I just felt as if...
Your draft strategy's been completely the opposite of mine.
My draft strategy was probably the same of yours, but I think for the sake of the board, my strategy was altered.
Yeah, no, I agree. So anyway, my next pick, this is where I take my first wide receiver. So I wait till the fifth round to take my first wide receiver. I'd imagine I was probably the only person left who had no wide receivers.
Probably,
I've got the star quarterback. I've got three solid running backs. Now, this is what I... Not a mistake. This isn't a mistake on my part, because I don't do mistakes. But this is an error on my behalf, which bugs me, even though it's probably not a huge deal. I took Pierre Garçon.
Yep.
I have got Alfred Morris. It bugs me. Mm. It's not a huge deal.
I hadn't actually looked at that, actually.
Yeah, it irritates me. Dwayne Bowe went 3 picks beforehand in the 7th pick in the 5th round. I was hoping you fell to me. I'm a huge Dwayne Bowe
fan. If you could have got him there, that would have been great value.
He got snagged just beforehand, and which is a shame, because obviously running back and tight end went before. I was like, so close. So I took Pierre Garçon. It's a shame I've still got Alfred Morris. But it's not like it's unheard of for a running back to get 100 yards and a wide receiver to get 100 yards as well, etc.
Yeah.
So it's not unheard of. I prefer having the same running back and wide receiver than having the same quarterback and running back as well. So it's not the end of the world. And he's a good wide receiver. And then, again, I took another wide receiver at the top of the sixth. This is a four wide receiver run I'm on here. It will be in the next two rounds. I could take Torrey Smith. I was debating between Torrey Smith and Antonio Brown. I went for Torrey Smith.
Yeah, I'd have gone for Smith there as well.
Yeah, less other options around him. Flacco's got a huge arm and can throw it deep to him. So there's potential for all of a sudden a big burst of points in like a 70-yard touchdown type thing.
Yeah.
And we know what we're getting for Torrey Smith. Whereas Antonio Brown, it's his first year as a true number one wide receiver, etc.
I think as well, Torrey Smith there is essentially your two if you go off it by looking at it like that. And I'd be happy with Torrey Smith as a two. I think
he
could be like a low end two maybe.
But where I go wide receiver.
Yeah.
Wide receiver. I lost count.
Yeah. You got four wide receivers in a row coming up
in these rounds. I've obviously picked up a decent amount of depth. So all my four wide receivers vying for the two spots or potentially a flex. There's so much interchangeability with them where there's not a huge gap between skill set and stats wise, etc.
Yeah. I'd say there's a bit of a gap between your first two picks and your next two, but we'll get into that in a minute.
Three out of four of mine are number ones. They're the number one wide receiver for their team, kind of thing. So
yeah,
I feel like they could all be interchangeable depending on matchup, quarterback play, etc.
Yeah.
So I felt good about taking Torrey Smith here.
Mm-hmm. And a quick note on Pierre Garçon, though. I know because you had him in the podcast league last year. And I was surprised that you went back and drafted him because he did burn you last year.
Yeah, the thing is, he had a couple of good games, but then obviously he was injured for a lot of the time. And then I like him. I have a lot of faith in him. I think he's a really good wide receiver. Now, if manages to stay healthy, I think he's really going to explode.
Personally, I was staying away from Pierre Garçon this draft, but I would not be surprised if he just goes off this year. And
got a cool name as well. I like that.
That
cool
as well. But speaking of burning people in the past, I followed that pick with Ryan Matthews,
who last year
in the sixth round.
Never take again.
Yes. Now I need to explain this pick because it was the sixth round. I had two running backs. I had two wide receivers, and I had my tight end. My thinking here was Ryan Matthews, drafting him here. He doesn't have to start for me each week. He can be a flex. He can sit on my bench, and just if he pops off, I could have such good value here. It's a big if, but if he goes off, I feel in the sixth round, I could have great value.
How many games does he play this season?
Well, none, because the season hasn't started yet.
How many games will he play this season?
None.
Okay, so that was a bad pick in the sixth round if he's not going to play any games.
What do you mean?
How many games would he play this season?
I thought you said how many games has he played. I was like, well, the season doesn't start for a few days. But I think I can see him playing 14. He might pick up the niggling injury here and there. But I'd be happy if he played 14 games. And the thing is, like, last year he got banged up in preseason and he went into the season injured. This preseason, he's been healthy, he's played the games, and he's come out with, like, 120 yards and a touchdown. From like two games, so he's looked good this preseason, and he is still healthy. So I like him going into the season as my flex.
Oh, their offense stinks. I mean, they lost Meacham during the week. They kind of lost him. They released him, I should say. Phillip Rivers is a turnover machine. Their O line is awful. It's just, and I mean, even Antonio Gates isn't the start. I mean, Antonio Gates in this league is on free agency. He's not. He wasn't drafted kind of thing. He's not the player he used to be. Their offense is horrible. And, ugh, I wouldn't touch. No. I didn't touch anyone from San Diego for a reason.
So you wouldn't be happy with Ryan Matthews as some player who sits on your bench for part of the season and then just taking the chance that he might pop off. Do you not like that sort of philosophy that I adopted there?
I'd have rather had Ahmad Bradshaw or Daryl Richardson, who went a couple of picks. Oh, he went like a round later than him.
Mm. Okay, that's a fair point.
Just not
I think
a fan of San Diego offensive players. I can't imagine any other ones even went in the draft off the top of my head.
Yeah. I feel as if I was more of a gambler in this draft, but
Possibly. I suppose the potential upside is huge if he does go off. But I can't see it.
But
your next round, you finally opted for the quarterback.
Yes, moving along to the back. I think it was the back of round seven. Yeah, the back of round seven, and I pulled the trigger on my quarterback, and I got RG3. And I feel as if RG3 in the seventh round, I was just so happy with that, because I've got a quarterback who, until he got hurt last year, he was putting up, I think he was putting up top two numbers.
I had him last year. He was incredible.
And even though he missed time last year, he still only finished 30 points shy of Aaron Rodgers. So I was very happy picking him up there in the seventh round.
Again, I prefer... I get scared by previous injuries last year so close, and especially
that's
on
right.
mobile quarterbacks like him, where a lot of his points were from the rushing yards, etc. But, I mean, seventh round, yeah, it's not an awful pick. I'm just... I don't know if I'd have preferred Stafford there, personally.
Again, my thinking there was with, as we briefly mentioned before, Calvin and Stafford.
Yeah, obviously. But, and I mean, the thing is, though, Stafford only throws to Calvin. So
yeah.
Not you. Oh, I suppose last year he didn't get many touchdowns for
you. Yeah, last year the touchdowns kind of sucked. But
yeah,
I just didn't want to go Stafford-Calvin.
Yeah, I understand that. I mean, obviously, next pick after this, my third wide receiver in a row, I took Wes Welker.
Wes Welker.
I had two wide receivers marked on my board. And I knew who I was going to take. Welker was the first one. The one I took straight after DeSean Jackson. DeSean Jackson, my third number one wide receiver. He hasn't got Macklin around him. The quarterback is going to be interesting to see how that goes. He could do really, really well, DeSean Jackson. I think him there in round eight.
As I said to you before, I think it's kind of a double-edged sword, because either he's going to draw all the targets...
And draw all the coverage.
So, truth be told, we're not going to know until the season starts, and we're going to see how the offense works.
And then, obviously, Wes Welker, I was amazed that he was still there in the seventh. I really like Welker. And I know he's going to split it with Decker and DT, etc. But he's such a good slot wide receiver. I can see him getting reliable yardage each week.
Again, the thing for me is just, I feel as if one of those guys has to... Just one of those guys in the offense, one of those three wide receivers this year is going to be very disappointing fantasy-wise. And it's just who it's going to be.
I think they won't be disappointing. I think you might end up with two that are very similar, which is below number one wide receiver figures, but it's still a solid seventh-round wide receiver who, again, like I said before, four wide receivers that I can alternate, because now, let's face it, I've got some serious depth. In my
wide receiver.
I've got three starting running backs, and I've got Aaron Rodgers. So, at the moment, apart from my Pierre Garçon thing, which was still at the back of my mind bugging me,
I feel as if the thing with your wide receivers is you have a lot of depth at wide receiver, but you don't have that elite guy.
Although, I have got these three number one wide receivers who, like you say, I mean, DeSean
when we
Jackson
say number one, we're talking.
They're the main wide receiver in their
franchise, fantasy wise, yeah.
Where it's like, I mean, Torrey Smith. I mean, around him, there's not much help. Pierre Garçon, the wide receivers around are all meh. DeSean Jackson, same thing again. They're all meh. Wes Welker, obviously, he's got loads of goodness around him, so that's a bit different to that situation. But, yeah, I was happy with my wide receivers up to this point, and I didn't take another one for a little while.
Yeah.
In fact, and your next pick, in fact, you took the best wide receiver available by a long shot.
Yeah, and this, I couldn't believe my luck in the eighth round snagging Jordy Nelson.
Obviously, there's always problems in pre-season and stuff. And obviously,
he's ready for week one. But I couldn't believe he was here. I was amazed.
Randall Cobb's, everyone loves Randall Cobb. Randall Cobb went in our fourth round. And then James Jones got all the touchdowns last year. So maybe there's some concern in that sense. But yeah, no, it's a very good pickup, especially if he remains 100% healthy.
And again, sort of, as you mentioned before with Ryan Matthews, it's sort of Jordy Nelson is now my flex.
Yeah.
So I don't have to worry about starting Ryan Matthews every week, because I can start Jordy Nelson in my flex, and in my flex, I'm more than happy with that, starting him there. I mean, some people might even be forced to start him as a number two wide receiver, but I can fit him in my flex spot, which I'm more than happy with that. And then moving along here to the later rounds, ninth round.
This is another one of your picks. I don't like this one.
Yeah, again, now, I'll be honest, I don't like the pick either, but it was the fact that I had three running backs, and running back was slim at this point. Back of the ninth round, I went for Rashad Mendenhall. Now, I know...
It's just another running back for you that's got a crappy O-line and a...
Yes,
crappy,
I agree.
Not a crappy rest of the offense. Carson Palmer's better there, but he's had injury problems again in the past. He's just like a worse Ryan Matthews, and I just...
Let me just ring off some of the running backs that were available at this point. Chris Ivory went one pick before me, so I picked up Rashad Mendenhall. The running backs left Mark Ingram, Bilal Powell, Sean Green, Isaac Redman, Le'Veon Bell. So he really was the best available running back there, I feel. And I needed a running back, so that kind of just forced my hand. So I had to go with him. And then at the end of the day, if one running back between Rashad Mendenhall and Ryan Matthews goes off, I'm happy. Because they'll just be my flex. And I've got Jordy Nelson to cover that anyway. So I'm happy with that.
See, I took the first running back you mentioned straight after. I took Mark Ingram because I wanted to pick a fourth running back up, one that could potentially be viable. If Sproles goes down, I imagine Mark Ingram would then step up to get more yards, etc. And this finishes my running backs for the most part here. I took another one later, but these are all my ones that I see as viable. He could do really well, but again, he's going to be. I've got 3-star wide receivers. I've got 4 really good 3-star running backs. 4 really good wide receivers. He's a severe case of injuries or an amazing matchup or something to that effect. And then my round 10 pick. I had a star quarterback, so I didn't need any quarterback depth. I didn't want to take a defense. I've already had 3. I didn't fancy any of the wide receivers anymore, and I didn't want to reach in anyone. This is me explaining why. There was no way I was taking tight end this early. And running backs, I was set. So obviously, I plumped for probably the number one fantasy numbers at this position this year. And I plumped for my main man, bigging him up, Blair Walsh, Minnesota's kicker. First kicker off the board, round 10.
You see.
I've never taken a kick before round 15 in any of my mocks. I purely took him because. It made me laugh a little bit. I'm a huge homer.
You see,
I didn't fancy anyone else after it. I could have reached for San Francisco's defense.
Can I just make a point?
The big man on campus, Blair Walsh.
Perfect. Just one point there. You took Blair Walsh there. A few rounds later. You could have gotten about 4 lines later. And you mentioned not having a tight end. Kyle Rudolph was on the board.
He doesn't get any. Again, like you said, I had him last year and. As much as he popped some really good numbers in some games, there was like 3 or 4 games in a row where he got 0 points for me.
Okay,
I think.
Jared Cook was on the board. There were some decent tight ends you could have picked up here.
I got a decent tight end when I actually took a tight end. When I took a tight end, there was still like Jermichael Finley on the board and stuff. There were still decent tight ends 3-4 rounds later. There's still decent tight ends in the free agency. It's like Antonio Gates is still there and stuff.
That's true.
A tight end I just don't value. Which, don't get me wrong, I'm not saying kickers should ever be taken in round 10. It's stupid. Take kickers in round 14 and 15. I'm an idiot for doing it. But it was funny, and he did really well for me last year. So that's pretty much my entire thought process.
Just to sort of put a shadow on your kicker pick, you know who I chose with the next pick?
You took your quarterback. Obviously, I don't need a backup
Andrew
quarterback,
Luck.
Though.
But Andrew Luck in the 10th round, who some experts around the league have him higher rated as their top 6.
He could be a starting quarterback. He could be a fantasy quarterback like top 5 kind of thing.
Yeah.
Blair Walsh is amazing. He's so manly.
No, oh dear.
I don't need another quarterback. I've got Rodgers. When it comes to Rodgers' bye week, which is unfortunately by week 4, which is really early, which means I have to cut someone early. I'll just pick up whoever's got the best matchup there. That's as simple as that.
Whoever's playing the Jets.
Because I don't need to think. Oh God, do I start Calvin Johnson or Andrew Luck or Tony Romo? I don't have to have that decision because I'm going to start Aaron Rodgers every week regardless of who he plays. I'm not even concerned about him playing the 49ers this week. He's Aaron Rodgers. He's incredible.
Yeah, but as I say.
But yeah, no, Luck there is decent. It's a solid backup.
Decent. I am so happy getting Andrew Luck in the 10th and RG3 in the 7th.
Yeah, Luck is a solid star. So I think he'll put up top 10 fantasy numbers.
Oh yeah, exactly, and that's why I was just so happy with him there. But ringing off our final few picks, I'm not going to spend too long on these last few picks, but round 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, I opted for the Chicago defense in round 11. Again, I've been waiting till sort of round 13 before picking a defense, but I feel as if the Bears there was just too good to pass on.
You see, I took defense here as well. I was going to go Cincinnati, but I was thinking, oh, I'm looking through Hard Knock glasses here. I'm purely mesmerized because of the TV show. So I took New England because they have to play the Bills and the Jets twice a year. And at the back of my head, I'm thinking I'm going to get another defense later who are going to be good, but I can play matchup wise. So if I and that's going to be a problem for week 1 for me. But I can pick up matchup. So if somebody's got a rookie quarterback or if someone's playing somebody who's rubbish, like the Raiders, I can start them, for example, stuff like that. Your next pick is not your next pick. It's my next pick next, because I took rounds. Well, this is where I took a tight end. I took Jordan Cameron, Browns tight end, looked solid in preseason. And this is all pretty much thanks to our friend Kevin, also in the league. He's been big on him for a couple of weeks, and I pretty much just stole him from him, and I apologised to him immediately.
You see, my one issue there is kind of, yes, you got a guy who a lot of people are high on, but then again, last year I remember lots of people were high on Tammy going to the Broncos. He was Peyton's last guy from Indianapolis, and he didn't really deliver, and I feel as if...
The thing is, Jordan Cameron looks so good in preseason that he's got this chemistry going. We know he can do it in preseason, but we know he can do it kind of thing, so...
Personally, I'd have preferred the Jared Cook or the Kyle Rudolph around earlier, but that's just me.
This is why I don't like tight ends. They're so rubbish.
Yeah, it's not great at tight end this year.
It's hard to find a consistent tight end outside of Graham or a healthy Gronkowski.
Yeah. But anyway, moving on. Yeah, as I said, I did just list them off before, but we'll just breeze through this pretty quickly now because these are sort of almost just the fillers to the roster. But round 12, I picked up Chris Givens, who
Your
was my sleeper that I talked about. Round 13, I picked up Fred Jackson, one of the running backs left on the board. And obviously, if CJ Spiller goes down, I'm in the money.
Plus, Fred Jackson will get
he'll get the odd touch,
well.
Yeah. Round 14, I picked up Zach Sudfeld. Again, pretty much because kind of, I want to say trade bait, but not trade bait, because, again, if he lives up to the hype, I'll be able to shop maybe a Tony Gonzalez or him, depending on who I feel. And then maybe strengthen a different position from it. And then, yeah, definitely my worst pick of the draft.
Oh, yeah, I forgot this. This is exciting.
My worst pick in the draft was in the 15th round, where I went for my kicker. Yeah, I went for the rather unfortunate Lawrence Tynes, who, unfortunately, the day before had contracted MRSA.
It wasn't the day before. It was just the day before he was put on IR. So he caught MRSA, as did Carl Nix, the guard for the Bucks.
Yeah.
And obviously, you got put on IR the day before. You didn't see it. It's a kicker.
Again.
No one looks at kicker news, really, do they?
Exactly. I apologise for not researching my kickers this off-season, guys.
Nobody researches kickers unless it's my main man, Blair Walsh, round 10. Totally worth it. And so, obviously, my final picks would be... This is where I took my backup defence in round 13. I took Tampa, which has caused problems in week one, because obviously Tampa have got Geno Smith. New England have got EJ Manuel. I'm going to play Tampa because Revis Island, Geno Smith, Jets, just blech.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of potential there. Then I took Brian Hartline, my sleeper, and my fifth wide receiver. Happy with this pick. I think he'll do really well. And then for the last pick of the draft, I had four running backs. So I figured I'll get a fifth running back. And I took Vic Ballard.
Yeah.
He's second running back in Indianapolis. He did.
If Bradshaw goes down.
Did well last year. And if Bradshaw goes down, I've got a last pick of the draft, Mr. He's solid.
I think, if Bradshaw goes down, then you've definitely got a bit of a steal there. Yeah. If he's going to be obviously the first back in Indianapolis, if Bradshaw goes down, or I'd like to say once Bradshaw goes down, because he's had quite a bit of a history with his foot. So I can see him going down this year, and I can see Ballard being a starter for you.
Another funny thing, you're not the only person to mess it up in round 15. I've just realised that Cordero took Jonathan Dwyer with the first round of the round 15. He got released.
Yeah.
I mean, we drafted on Saturday.
Yes, Saturday.
So obviously all the releases happened just after that. I mean, no one expected Jonathan Dwyer to be cut, so
yeah,
it was a bit of a shock for everyone, but obviously it didn't play well out for Cordero, unfortunately.
So yeah, that was the draft in the books.
What would you say your biggest weaknesses or your biggest problem, be it an individual player or position, which one do you feel most about that could let you down possibly?
Okay, round 5, I really wanted to get Matt Ryan. I really wanted him, and I thought I might be able to snag him, but he went, I think it was 5 picks before me. So yeah. I was a bit annoyed about that, but having RG3 and Andrew Luck, and I know that they're two quarterbacks who are very much capable of seeing me through this season. And again, wide receiver, I've got two great wide receivers there for me. I've got the best wide receiver in the league. At running back, I've got a running back who could put up easily top 5 numbers in Trent Richardson. I've got MJD, who, if he rediscovers his form from 2011, I'm going to be way ahead. And at my flex spot, I can alternate between Jordy Nelson, Ryan Matthews, Mendenhall. So I'm very, and even Chris Givens as well. I'm very happy with that draft. And
I think there's a lot of risk. I think there's a lot of risk in your running backs. Obviously, MJD, if he is 2011 MJD, brilliant. That's, but he might not be. He's on the Jaguars. Then you've got Ryan Matthews, who is, as we discussed. And then who is your running back you took after him? Rashad Mendenhall. Just again, there's a lot of risk at your running back.
So great, great in that draft. Out of 10. What would you go for right
your
there?
Your draft?
Yes. Brutally honest.
What defense did you get again?
The Bears.
I don't like the amount of risk that's in your team. I don't like the RG3. Oh no, I like the RG3, but hear me out. I don't like the fact that you've got RG3, MJD, Ryan Matthews, Rashad Mendenhall. There's so much potential for just an utter collapse in your draft. Okay. But there's also obviously the risk of upside.
I'd like to just back that up by saying that none of those players have to start for me. That is just one thing to bear in mind.
We'll do it at some point during bye weeks, etc. A 7.
A 7?
A push.
I think that's fair. That's fair.
Yeah,
that's fair.
There's just a lot of risk there. The risk reward is obviously high.
Yeah, personally, I love it given the fact that I say two like quality wide receivers, two running backs who I love this year. I'm really happy. I'd have given it an 8, but obviously that's probably me being biased. Your draft
would have been stronger if you'd got Matt Ryan.
Yeah. Your draft, on the other hand, I like your running backs. You have wide receiver depth. Obviously, you have the best quarterback in the league in Aaron Rodgers.
Oh, yeah.
But the fact that you don't have that one complete stud at wide receiver would be a bit of an issue for me. But, you know, I think you've got a solid team. You've got that depth at wide receiver. And that could challenge this year. Definitely challenge. Again, I'd probably put them on a par. But purely because of that lack of a complete stud at wide receiver. Out of 10, again, 7, 8, that sort of range.
That is rubbish. That is absolute rubbish. That's a minimum of a 9. Look at it.
You give that a 9.
I managed to get Blair Walsh in the tent. This kind of stuff doesn't come along very often right here. I think my biggest qualm with my draft, in hindsight, the Pierre Garçon still bugs me, but it's not a big problem, is my defence. I've never carried two defences before. I mean, I can thankfully cut one of them if they turn out to be absolute ass.
Yeah.
I usually like having a stud defence, but Chicago and Houston and Denver all went in the round, like in the same round that I took New England. Maybe I should have taken Cincinnati for consistency, but I like playing the matchups New England and Tampa that we'll get, so I think that I should be okay. But it's not like me. And also, quarterback early has never been me. I've always had not round 8, 9 quarterbacks whenever I've done it, so it's different for me. But I think I'm going to win, so it's all good.
Really grade yourself a 9 for that one?
Yeah, I think I've got a solid 9. Potentially 9.5, especially with Blair Walsh. I mean,
We will see how the season pans out then.
God,
see how the season pans out.
Well, okay.
Moving on to something you wanted to talk about right here.
Yeah, basically, I've listened to a lot of other podcasts, obviously. Rich Eisen podcast I've listened to years. And every single year they do a thing where they pick, let me put it up here, they do their Super Bowl picks. They pick the two teams that are going to be in the Super Bowl.
Yep.
The coach of the year, the MVP, and the passing and rushing yards champion.
Yes.
And I thought we could dive in and make our picks. Now, mine are different. I'm not going to say they're risque or I'm going to go crazy and say it's going to be like the Raiders or anything stupid like that.
Yeah.
But I'm trying to avoid the norm. I'm not going to go Broncos 49ers in the Super Bowl kind of thing, because it's like, yeah, okay, that's brilliant. That's the cool choice kind of thing. So we'll start off with Super Bowl picks. Mine.
Mm. Yep, go on.
Great. sorry, I've got GB written down on my notes. I was going to say Great Britain.
probably not.
Green Bay Packers versus Houston. Now, Houston does hang on the fact whether or not Aaron Foster will stay healthy. If he plays all the games, they can easily comfortably make the Super Bowl, especially with their defense. And Green Bay with Eddie Lacy, I like a lot. So that's where they're my picks.
Okay.
Yours?
Mine for this year, now, I feel as if the obvious pick would be like a Seahawks, Texans sort of thing. I feel as if that would be the obvious one.
They're the trendy picks.
But the obvious ones never seem to come out.
Yeah.
So I'm going to go for Broncos and Falcons. Maybe a little bit of a homer with the Falcons pick, but I just feel as if...
I wouldn't say it's a little bit of a homer. I'd say it's a massive, massive homer.
I think
but
if you were to grade the NFC right now, you surely the Falcons are your top three, if not top four.
No, they're not top three. Green Bay, Seattle, and 49ers are top three. Not in any particular order. I mean, the Falcons are good offense, but I can't think they did near enough to improve the defense from last year.
I think Broncos Falcons would be my Super Bowl pick for this year.
Okay. Coach of the year, I've gone as I said Green Bay in the Super Bowl, and I think Green Bay are going to have a potential 14-2 season. I've gone Mike McCarthy as head coach of the year.
Yeah.
I think I'm as much as I hate to say it, because I'm a Vikings fan, I think Green Bay are going to be absolutely stellar this season. I think they'll be really good. Even without Greg Jennings, I think they're going to be incredible. And I think Mike McCarthy's going to get a lot of praise for it.
Yeah, for me, it has to be Rex Ryan. I'm kidding, of course. No, definitely not going to be Rex Ryan. He
won't even be there at the end of the season.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. You see, coach of the year, I feel as if it goes hand in hand with whoever is going to be challenging for that Super Bowl at the end of the year.
Yeah.
So, I feel as if the Falcons made it to the Super Bowl, then I feel as if Mike Smith would get it.
Yeah.
Really, for achieving that. So, I'd have to go with my Super Bowl pick and go with Mike Smith.
I mean, it's not going to happen.
But probably won't happen, but... but, yeah, that'd be mine. We'll have a look at the end of the season.
Okay, next one. MVP of the league. I've gone for Tom Brady, because he's going to be the most valuable player to their team, because obviously there's this distinct lack of weapons there. It's been much discussed.
Yeah, that's a bit of an understatement, to be honest.
Gronkowski's coming back earlier now than everyone thought at first, which is positive, but I think Brady earns the MVP this season with playing with a bunch of rookies and unheard of players, etc. I think he's going to... 11 wins, easily feasible, more doable easily, and that's going to earn Tom Brady MVP.
Yeah. I'm going to go for Peyton Manning.
Yeah, I mean, he missed it just this year.
Exactly.
If it wasn't for Adrian Peterson just being incredible.
And you look at the players that they've brought in for him to throw to now. You've got Wes Welker, Eric Decker, Demaryius Thomas. It's just, he's not short of weapons in that offense. So, Peyton Manning for me.
Okay, she's over on MVP. Pass yards champion.
Pass yards.
I've gone for, this is probably the more obvious choice. I've gone for Matthew Stafford. I'd
be inclined to agree with you there. When you're throwing the ball 800 times, it's...
Even with Reggie Bush there, kind of thing, he's going to get a lot of receiving yards. He's great out of the backfield. As much as they will be able to run it a bit more than last year, I think he's still going to be pass, so...
Yeah, I'd have to agree with that one there. Matt Stafford, you know, as I said, when he's throwing the ball as many times as he is, it's just law of averages. At the end of the day, he's going to get these completions. And
they're desperation passes as well. They're the ones where they're behind again and again and again, so they have to throw it to stay in the game, and that's what's going to keep them at the top.
I tell you what, maybe a little bit of a dark horse. I wouldn't be surprised to see Andrew Luck up there, though.
See, I was going to... A dark horse for me, I was going to say Carson Palmer, for the same reason I said Stafford. He's behind a lot, and he has got Larry Fitzgerald, who's I still think is incredible.
He's behind a lot, but he's also going to be on the floor a lot with that offensive line.
That's why I didn't, because I don't think he's going to be upright enough with that.
Exactly.
Rushing yards champion. This one's the one that struggled most. I still haven't 100% decided. I've got Matt Forte and LeSean McCoy battling it out. I'm going to go LeSean McCoy purely because... Okay, the Bears' O-line's been improved, but I think LeSean McCoy is the better runner, and I think he's going to get the more touches, and I think LeSean McCoy can take that. It would have been Arian Foster if he was 100% healthy, though, by the way.
Of course, yeah. Hilarious.
No, genuinely, I've said that before the season, that Arian Foster would have been the top rusher, but then obviously he's not 100%. So.
Yeah, he isn't, no. But you see, for me, I don't know how you can look past Adrian Peterson. The year that he had last year was just phenomenal.
But nobody's ever done it once, gone over 2,000, then been...
Nobody's ever had the season that he had last year off the back of an ACL.
And nobody's ever been Adrian Peterson.
Exactly. If anybody can do it, Adrian Peterson can do it. Mm. If there's any guy, then I'll be honest, I'm not going to bet against Adrian Peterson doing it. You wouldn't bet against him. And I just can't look past him for the most rushing yards this year.
Yeah, you're not wrong. You're not wrong.
Exactly.
Well, I just thought that would be something fun that we can discuss, and at the end of the season, we can look back at what we've said and see who got the most right.
What do we have there, then? So, I have Adrian Peterson for rushing yards, Matt Stafford for throwing yards, Peyton Manning MVP, Falcons Broncos Super Bowl, Mike Smith, Coach of the Year.
Yeah, and I have Great Britain. Green Bay, Houston, Mike McCarthy, Tom Brady, Stafford's pass yards, LeSean McCoy's rush yards.
Brilliant.
And that's a wrap.
We'll revisit that at the end of the year. Probably none of us will have any of them right, but we'll revisit it and we'll see how we do. But this was, aside from the usual podcast that we have going on weekly, and this is sort of a draft recap and looking ahead to the predictions for this season.
And an apology for missing last week's as well.
Yeah, but we will, I think Friday or Saturday, we'll get another episode up briefing the Sunday's games. We will unfortunately, we'll miss the Broncos game. But we'll
certainly
be
being GMT, obviously the times it starts at like 1 a.m.
Exactly,
so
yeah. we'll get an episode up on the Friday or the Saturday to brief the upcoming Sunday's games and the Monday night football and Tuesday as well. So we'll get that up for you in the coming days. And anything else you want to add to this episode here before we wrap it up?
No, I'm done. I think I've said enough for today.
Okay then, guys. So as always, be sure to follow us at OBF Podcast on Twitter. But until next time, guys, we'll see you all later.
Peace.